This is the Old Testament. Actually, the last three books of the Old Testament were our minor prophets, not minor because they are less important, but minor just because their messages were shorter. But they were these last three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, were all post-exile. They were preaching to the Jews that returned from captivity. And I know that most everyone is very familiar with what happened to the nation of Israel in their backslidings. God sent prophets to warn them that they had turned away from the Lord. The prophets preached, but they didn't listen. They had neglected the law of the Sabbath. They had turned to idol worship, and as a result, they wouldn't listen to the prophets. And so God allowed them to be sent into captivity, into Babylon. Haggai is a preacher, a prophet. His message is short. It's only two chapters, but it's very powerful. There's actually five messages in the book of Haggai that are fiery sermons that this prophet preaches to that group of exiles. And we're going to read about it here, Haggai chapter 1, and I'm going to read beginning with verse number 2. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, you bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Can't make enough. It just, the more you get, the more it drops through the bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is the repeated message of Haggai the prophet. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jostic, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jostic, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So the Lord said to this rebellious generation of Jews, you won't listen to my prophets, so I'm going to send the Babylonians, and they're going to come. You won't listen to the prophets, so maybe you'll listen to calamity and trouble and hardship. And so for a period of 20 years, Jerusalem is under siege. The capital city is basically destroyed. The walls are torn down. The temple is destroyed. They stole everything of value from the city of Jerusalem, including all the young and the bright and the strongest of that younger generation was stolen away and taken 900 miles away to the region of Babylon, which is now modern-day Iraq. In Babylon, the Babylonians then decided they wanted to change them, change their lives, change their names, change their culture. They wanted to change their identity and cause them to live according to the pagan ways of the Babylonians. And the historians estimate that there was probably as many, after 70 years in Babylon, maybe as many as 1 million Jews in Babylon. Incredible. The size of that population of Jews in Babylon. Then Cyrus, the king of Persia, and the Persians defeated the Babylonians. The Persians are the modern day Iranians. And so they completely defeat the Babylonians and take over, and a new king rises. His name is Cyrus. And Cyrus allows a remnant of the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the walls and the temple, and to restore. He allows this remnant, any of them that want to go. Now, all of this was prophesied many, many years before by the prophet Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah 29 and 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, this is long before they were taken to Babylon, that the prophet Jeremiah is telling them this is what's going to happen. After 70 years are accomplished in Babylon, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That's a verse we're very familiar with. It relates to the fact that God had not forgotten them, even though they were down there in Babylon, that all those many years the Lord didn't forget them or his promises that he had given to them through the prophet Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The whole time that they're in captivity, they were on the mind of the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call on me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. That was Jeremiah many years before the city of Jerusalem was attacked, before they were taken into captivity. He was already prophesying of the fact that God is going to come and visit you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to bring you back to your homeland. He's going to restore you back to the place of your homeland. And so Cyrus allows them to go back. I'm building this all up so that you'll understand the importance of the message of Haggai the prophet. And they get back down to Jerusalem, the remnant. As I said, there's probably close to 1 million Jews in Babylon, but there was only a little over 50,000 of them that return back. It's a small little remnant of them, but they go back. And remember that they rebuilt the wall in 52 days under Nehemiah. Bible says they had a mind to work. And then under Ezra, they started the construction of the temple, and they built the foundation of the temple. But because of opposition, because of the hardness of the task and the challenges that were before them to get it built, they stopped the building of the temple. 16 years go by, and the foundation of the temple is just sitting there and has not been touched in all of these years. All the people, instead of building the temple, they use much of the materials that have been brought from the mountains, And they build their own houses. Haggai calls it their sealed houses, or their well-paneled houses made out of the wood of the brought down from the mountains. And they built their own homes, and they got their own homes and everything that they needed to establish their personal homes and their families. But they had neglected to build the house of the Lord. 16 years have gone by. And God sends two prophets to come to speak to them, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, each of them with a message. As I mentioned, Haggai's message is really like four really fiery messages where he comes and tells them the truth, and he speaks unashamedly, declaring to them the truth and points out the error of their ways. Amen. Sometimes a prophetic message from a prophet like Haggai is what we need to hear. It's almost like a wound. It's like it pricks you, it stabs you, it convicts you of what is going on in your life. So the message that I read to you there from Haggai chapter 1, the first part of his message was, you say it's not time yet. I mean, 16 years have gone, come and gone, and you're still saying, well, we'll do that tomorrow, or we'll do that next week, or we'll get started on that next month. Maybe there'll be another time, a more convenient time. We'll get to it. That's what they were saying. They said, it's not time yet. They were procrastinating and not making the house of God the priority. You see, the house of God was not just a building. It symbolized the very place where the sacrifices were brought. It symbolized the house of God, the presence of God, the blessing of God, everything that that you and I have now, that I don't believe that you have to be necessarily in a particular building now to receive help and blessing from the Lord. We now have this connection with the Lord personally, wherever you are. But in this particular time, everything about their relationship with God was to be centered around the temple and around temple worship. And they were neglecting it. They built their own homes. They were taking care of their own business, their own lives. And that had become the priority of their life. And so he said, you're procrastinating. You're saying, maybe next month or next year, we'll get to it. We'll get around to it. They put it off. It's not time yet, they said. But then he comes back and says, well, you're saying you don't have time to build the house of God, but you got plenty of time to take care of your own business. You find time to do what you want to do. And this, I'm telling you, folks, this speaks so very clearly to us about priorities today in our own lives. Amen. We have the time for a lot of things, but when it comes to the things that are most important, that should be the priority of our life, the things of God, the Word of God, prayer, worship, the house of God, ministry, outreach, all these things, that we should have the time and we should make time, we should make them the priority of our lives. Amen. Amen. And that's what he's saying to them. He said, well, you've got time to build your own sealed houses. You've taken the wood that was brought down from the mountains for the temple, and you've used it to build your own house. Twice, he says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. It's worthwhile for every one of us to take time to just stop what we're doing and to take a few minutes to consider, what about my life? What about my time? What about the priorities? What are the things that are most important to me in my life? And so really, Haggai, he wounds them with a fiery message, and I guess you'd say cuts them to the quick, because they are not making the things of God the priority of their life. And the result of that is, he said, now, because you have made the things of God a lesser priority of your life, then as a result of that, When you sow, it doesn't come to much. You don't have everything that you need. All your efforts are not as successful. You earn wages. You put it in a bag with holes. He was just saying, you don't put God as the priority. You don't seek first the kingdom of God. And as a result of that, then you lose the blessing of the Lord and the provision of the Lord in your life when you don't put the Lord first. Amen. So that was the message of Haggai. And I'm telling you, it was a strong message. It got their attention. They realized when they considered their ways, they realized it was true that we have neglected the most important thing in our life. The most important thing in our families is the things of God and the house of the Lord. Stop and consider your ways. We all need to do that. We all need to evaluate our life, evaluate our time, evaluate our schedules, evaluate our priorities, and are we putting God and the things of God as more important to us than just our own needs? Amen. Amen. So that was the message of Haggai. Then Zechariah comes. He's actually a contemporary to Haggai. He's preaching almost in the same season to the same group of people. But when he comes and preaches to them, he's like the salve in the wound. Haggai wounds them, and then Zechariah comes to heal them and to encourage them, to let them know, listen, if you'll put God first, then God's going to come through for you. If you'll put God first, then be encouraged. Because what you're building is not just a structure. It's not just a building. You're building a future for yourself. You're building a future for your family. And when you put that first, then generations to come are going to be impacted by the decisions that you're making right now. Consider your ways. Because what you do now is going to have an impact upon your life and upon your family and upon your future, and future generations are going to be blessed because you do the right thing. You put God first. Future blessings are always contingent upon present obedience. Amen. Future blessings are always contingent upon present obedience. Doing what God commands us to do now is going to make a difference in tomorrow, in the generations that are to come. Sometimes you may think, well, Lord, I don't see any effect. I don't see any fruit. I try to be faithful to God. I try to be faithful to the things of God, to the house of the Lord. I don't see any real impact in my life. Well, the fruit always comes in another season. There's another generation that's going to reap the benefit of your faithfulness to God and to the things of God right now. Amen. So just stay true to the things of the Lord. Zechariah gave them the assurance that the task that they were attempting to complete, that it was going to be finished. And God was going to help them get the temple built. He was going to empower them to do it. And he promised that to Zerubbabel, who was the civic leader, and Joshua was the priest. He was the spiritual leader, and he promised to them that God was going to provide for them what they needed. The verse that we're very familiar for in the message of Zechariah, when he spoke to him and said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." We sang the song today. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He was just simply saying to Zerubbabel, it's a big task. It's an overwhelming task. But it's the right thing to do. And make it the priority. Consider your ways. Do what is right. And you will be blessed. And generations to come, your children and your children's children will be blessed because you do what is right. Amen. The next verse after that verse about not by might or power, but by my spirit, verse 7 is, who art thou, O great mountain? The mountain he was talking about was this overwhelming task. Who art thou, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Amen. Glory to God. You say, when God comes by his spirit, he'll make the overwhelming task to be leveled. And he'll make it to where you can get it done by the power of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you're not going to succeed in this spiritual task. It requires that you put your trust and your confidence in the Lord. And understand, it's not to be done by might or power, but by the work of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. And so this was a generation that they were just thinking about the present. They were just thinking about my house, my home, my present needs. And God said, because you did not put me first, then I'm just going to blow on it. I'm going to blow on it. It's not going to be what you wanted it to be. It's not going to succeed. You're not going to be fruitful. The seeds that you sow, they're not going to bring forth what you wanted them to bring forth. You're still going to be lacking and in need because you have not put me first. Amen. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. When you put God first, then God takes care of every other area of need of your life. Amen. When you put him first, this is basic principle. It's taught all throughout the word of the Lord. God wants to be first. God wants your priorities to be put in the right place. Over everything that you do, he wants you to put him first. When you do, then he says, I'm going to come in my power by my Holy Spirit. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to cause the mountain, the overwhelming task, to be made level like a plain. Glory to God. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings. Praise God. What was the headstone? Well, that was the capping off the project. Amen. They started with the foundation. The headstone was when the temple was finally built. It was the capstone, the headstone of it. And you're just saying, I'm going to make this overwhelming task. I'm going to level it. I'm going to make it like a plane. And I'm going to cause you to be able to bring forth the headstone with shoutings. You're going to accomplish what I have called you to do. The temple is going to be built. Thou shalt bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Praise the Lord. That God provides the grace that you need to fulfill his will for your life. Amen. So the message of Haggai was, stop. Consider your ways. Look at what you're doing. Look at your priorities. Look at what you're doing with all your time and your energy and your calendar and your money and everything that you have. Are you putting me first in every area? Stop. Consider your ways. Examine yourself. Look at your life. Are you really putting me first in every area? When you put him first, then you have the promise of God's favor, God's blessing. Amen. I'm going to come. I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to cause everything that you do to be blessed and to be fruitful in your life if you put me first. And I know a lot of times parents say, you know, they're wanting to provide everything that their kids need. And that's just natural for moms and dads to want to bless their children. That's a normal thing, to want to bless your children and to be a blessing to them. But let me tell you what they need more than they need the best clothes and the best, you know, whatever items that you might want to provide for them. More than all the things that seem to be the priority in their life. They need this. They want this. They have to have all this. And you can find yourself running here and running there and spending what you have to try to meet their needs. And I understand the desire to meet the needs and the wants of your family and your children. That's a natural God-given instinct. But remember, consider your ways. Remember what's really important. The things of God are more important than designer clothes, more important than fun times, more important than all the things that you can ever provide for them. They need to know about the things of God. Make that the priority. That's the message of Haggai. Consider your ways. Think about what's really important, what's really valuable in this world, in this life, and that is putting God first. And he said, if you'll do that, then I'm going to come by my Spirit, and I'm going to equip you. You say, oh, it's really hard to focus my family on the things of God. Yeah, it's like an overwhelming mountain sometimes to make sure that your children and your family is pointed toward the things of the Lord. It's a mountain, but he said, I'll make the mountain like a plain, and I'll give you grace. Grace unto it. Grace is just really just divine enablement, divine strength, divine power. I'll give you the grace to get the task done. Amen. And I know it's a challenge. I'm a dad. I'm a grandpa. I understand it's a big challenge to do the things that we need to do. But somehow, by the grace of God, we can make our homes and our families the priority. We can prioritize the Word of God, worship the things of God, pointing them to Jesus. This is the most important thing that you could ever do, is to instill in them the love for the things of God. That's why the temple was positioned where it was. That's why David had such a zeal for the house of the Lord. Amen. He wanted the Ark of God brought back to Jerusalem. And when finally the Ark, which symbolized the presence of God, once the Ark was back in Jerusalem, when they were bringing it back, I mean, he rejoiced. He danced before the Lord. He was so excited and thrilled that the Ark of the Lord was coming back to its rightful place. And all throughout David's life, his desire was to see the temple built. That was his desire. He wanted to see the temple built. He wanted to build it. But God said, no, David, you're a man that's shed blood. You're a soldier. You're a military man. So you're not the one to build it. I'll appoint your son Solomon to build the temple. And David had such a zeal for the house of the Lord that he spent the latter years of his life collecting up the materials, hiring the workers. He said, if I can't build the temple, at least I can do everything that I can do in my own power to prepare the way so that when Solomon, my son, steps in to build the temple, that he's going to have the materials and the workers, the craftsmen, everything that he needs. I'll do it, because he just had a desire for the house of the Lord and for the things of God. Amen. When the house of the Lord becomes the priority of your life, then everything changes. Then you have God's blessing and favor upon your life. Amen. Otherwise, if you've made other things, temporal things, the more important to you, and God says, I'm just going to blow on it. I'm just going to blow on it. I'm going to make sure that there's holes in the bag. And everything that you get, it's gonna seemingly be unfruitful. You're not gonna be able to really accomplish what you set out to accomplish because you have not made God the priority of your life. More important than anything. Amen. He said, I'm gonna give you the power of the Spirit of God. You're gonna bring the mountain down. It's tough, it's a task. But I'm gonna cause you to put the headstone in place. You're going to shout with rejoicing because I'm going to cause it to be accomplished, crying grace unto grace. Verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it.
And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Praise God. That was the message of Zechariah to Zerubbabel. You're going to get this task done. I'm going to equip you by the power of my spirit. I'm going to give you grace upon grace to get it done. The enablement to accomplish what I'm calling you to do. You're gonna get this task accomplished. You built the foundation, but I'm going to cause you to finish it. You're going to know that it was the Lord of hosts that has provided for you and has equipped you to get the job done. Hallelujah. So the message of Haggai was, stop, take a minute, consider your ways. Examine your life. Certainly examine your priorities. What is it that just kind of sucks up all your time and all of your energy when it should be the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God, spiritual things, doing God's work? Consider your ways. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us again, Lord, of how we can so easily have misplaced priorities. And I'm asking you, Lord, forgive us because we allow so many things to take our lives, our energy, our time, our finances. And Lord, I just pray that you would forgive us because we have not put you first in so many areas of our lives. Lord, help us. Help us to make the things of God more important. Lord, that in our family, in our homes, Lord, that it would be God and the things of God and the Word of God a priority to our families and our children. Praise God. Help us, Lord, to accomplish what you have called us to do. Help us to stop today and just consider our ways. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, everybody?